Andrew Siciliano. I watch him over and over again each and every Sunday on DirecTV. He is the host of the NFL Red Zone channel. He is also on NFL Network, a friend of the show, Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Andrew Siciliano here on the Dial Pad guest line. Andrew, thanks again for joining us. How are you, pal?
Damon, as Ray said yesterday, the pleasure is all yours.
When you book Ray to do a hit on NFL Network and you see that he is sitting in front of a green screen wearing a green sweater, do you think to yourself, we could have done this better? Or do you think, as I do, it could not be more perfect?
Well, all of the above, I guess. Well, I was sitting in a stadium, and so I was just happy that everything worked. You know, sometimes when you're on a remote, you're just praying that the wires are connected properly. I would say this, totally inside football here. We have a text thread or a group, if you will, like all of a bunch of the reporters and me, and they all thought it looked like a scene out of Office Space with the back, like they all loved it. They thought it was fantastic, and like the text thread, and like the entire time Ray and I were talking, my phone was blowing up. I thought it was great. There was something distinctively Ray, who I know is sitting right there, to it, and it was fantastic.
If you wanted me to move, somebody should have said so. I only went
First
to a
all,
quiet room, and I don't care if I look like I'm a kidnapping victim.
Well, you did. It looked like a hostage video. I couldn't care less.
Well, then,
I thought it would have been cool if they like put different backdrops on that green screen. Like maybe you were in the Serengeti, or then you're on top of Everest. It would have been cool.
That's a creativity problem that the NFL clearly has, and not just in this avenue. But we're not going to deal with that. I'm just saying that I go to a quiet room. The rest of it is on you.
Understood. I'm just Mongo, just pawn in Game of Life. I just play along, and I'm glad it worked.
We're 2 days in a row with Blazing Saddle references, by the way.
That's a role I like to be
generic
on.
Generic.
I don't know that it worked.
Totally organic.
I can keep going. Most of Blazing Saddles would be...
probably, yeah.
We're outcried today, and it would never happen. So,
you know what I loved about last night's post game is Jimmy Garoppolo says, you know, hey, we just want to win, baby, essentially. And then the whole world is like, did he just call Aaron Andrews baby? And instead of clearing it up, he just smiles and is like, I'm handsome. I can get away with that, and walks off.
So I didn't see it. I was not in front of the screen at the time. And I had a couple of texts from friends saying, oh, my God, did you just see that? So I can't actually offer an opinion here because I still have yet to see it. But my initial reaction was, well, he must have been like, hey, no, baby. Like, baby being the communal baby.
Like, baby. The royal baby.
The royal baby. Thank you. And not the Meghan Markle baby. But did he actually turn to Aaron and address, like, was it, we're 8-0, comma, baby?
No, he was celebrating.
Okay. Here it is.
Here's the audio.
Here it is.
All right, I want to get game ball here.
Oh, no, wait, that's the game ball. Hold on, wait, I need,
that's different audio.
Where's my Jimmy G? Well done. Hold on, I got it.
8-0, how does that feel?
Feels great, baby.
Happy Halloween, right back at you. Thanks so much.
Definitely, no problem.
It sounds like there was an intended comma.
It's borderline when you listen to it.
Look, it's good to
borderline.
Be the king. It's good to be the king.
I can't see the look. I can't see the look on Lord Farquaad's eyes.
All right. So, look, obviously, we're having as much fun as you can have at the beginning of the interview. That means the 49ers are 8-0 and things went well last night, even though things are set up to go poorly on a Thursday night and short rest. Tip of the cap to Cliff Kingsbury. Tip of the cap to Kyler Murray. There's something special there coming. You give them an offensive line. We're going to talk about how good they are soon. In the meantime, I want to talk about how good the 49ers can still be with the news that Kwon Alexander's done for the year.
It's a big blow, certainly. I would argue that their defensive line is good enough to overcome that. However, they went out and paid Kwon what they did for a reason.
Oh, no. Everything was going so well, baby.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby, where are you?
Somebody's, I assume we're trying to get him back.
Yeah, that's or the idea.
Yeah, that's what
we're just going to call
we
had our fun, right?
Look, with Albie, you never know. He might have just thrown his hands up and walked out.
Yeah.
I mean,
it is Friday.
It's Friday. He's half in the bag. I mean, why wouldn't he do that?
It's fair.
Someone's like, look, that baby's definitely sexist. No, it wasn't. It was not sexist. It was conversational.
Yeah, I don't think he was calling her baby, but I don't know.
That's a married woman. He's not calling her baby.
I really, yeah.
Anyways.
Feels great, baby. Like,
don't throw out the baby don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, and don't throw out Andrew Siciliano in the middle of a segment. He is back here on 95.7 The Game. We were talking about Kawhi. I think we're over it. Next, not Kawhi.
Kwan.
Excuse me. Kwan. Another Kwan. And Kawhi. Oh, boy.
Well, we could just look at this as load management on a random Wednesday against Utah. We'll say, look, it's a big hit. I think their defense, the number one total defense coming in the last night, can overcome the loss of one player, but he's a very good player, and there's a reason they spent all that money to get him there. I think they're fine, but, yeah, you're definitely going to feel the effect. I'm convinced that Robert Saleh and that defensive front can handle it. I'll leave it to the former players to XO and tell you exactly how they will miss him. But, are you going to ask me, are they going to lose against the Seahawks next week without him? No, I'm not going to say that.
How much credit do you give for the opening up of the Niners offense to the acquisition of Emmanuel Sanders?
I think overall, the fact that they're able to do this without both tackles, without Kyle Juszczyk, and not just any left tackle, without Joe Staley, I have the utmost faith in Kyle Shanahan. And I was talking to a guy 2 years ago in the offseason, a Pro Bowl defensive player, let's put it that way. And I said, who's the best play caller that you line up against? He goes, there are two. There's Sean McVay, there's Kyle Shanahan. And he goes, and with Kyle Shanahan, he goes, you can't just look at 5 years of cut-ups. You got to go back deeper than that, because he's going to pull stuff out that you just haven't seen on film. Or maybe you'll find it on film 8 years ago in Washington, that he's that good. So I am a Kyle Shanahan apologist when it comes to calling plays. And when you add Emmanuel Sanders, and let's face it, it's the same damn offense he had in Denver. People were going nuts last night. Look how seamlessly he fits in on short notice. It's the same offense. And to his credit, it shows you how poorly that Joe Flacco and all those pieces there were running that offense, the success that he has had this early.
Would you, based on that, would you have guessed that Kyle Shanahan took the terminology that he's always had and just brought it there from when he was part of the Denver thing? Or did he have plays called with the terminology that Sanders remembers from Denver and just did it that way?
I think it's a combination of both. I mean, Emmanuel said last week he could figure out this offense. There's just some different terminology, and he could figure it out. It's the same thing. Look, they're two bright, highly functioning individuals. They were able to figure it out. I thought they paid a little much, to be honest with you, for a guy coming off an Achilles. But I look stupid with how productive he was last night.
So, looking forward to that Seahawks game, and given that things in the middle of the defense got a little bit tougher for the Niners, how much do you see this Josh Gordon acquisition impacting the division?
It's interesting, because I didn't think someone mentioned Seattle last night as, well, maybe they do it. I didn't think, A, he would get to Seattle at 6-2, where are they, like 27, 28 on the list?
Yeah, around there.
I just didn't think he would get there. He's really, really good if he is healthy. I think he'll be healthy. I can't expect Josh Gordon to do anything this week. I'd be stunned if Josh Gordon did anything this week. They only claimed him today. He's not playing this week.
Correct.
But if they can work him in, it's Tyler Lockett, and Tyler Lockett in that offense. And every now and then, DK Metcalf gets loose, especially when the Falcons just decide not to cover him, which they did twice last week. He makes that team that much better, but I'm going to hold judgment on how much because I don't think he's going to get on the field and contribute that much that quickly.
At this point, where do you see, and I want to go sort of beyond the 49ers, do you see that the pecking order is now clearly different than it was 3 weeks ago when you had New Orleans and Seattle in the argument as well? And, I mean, we could probably dismiss L.A. as an elite team, at least for the moment. Has the pecking order of those three teams, including the 49ers, changed in the last 3 weeks? Or for you, has it always been the 49ers first and then New Orleans and Seattle battling for second?
No. For me, it was New Orleans first, and I wasn't sold on the 49ers. You know, I was up there for the Monday night game against the Browns, and we all laughed on the way out because I saw a Niners fan talking junk to a Browns fan, and the Browns fan turned back to the Niners fan and said, you know, you still haven't beaten anybody. And then they got the Panthers, and they dropped 50 on the Panthers. I thought this week, I don't care what the Cardinals' record is, to go on the road on a short week against a difficult quarterback and an offense you haven't faced, that was an impressive win. I mean, obviously, they made it close at the end. That was an impressive win to me, regardless of the score. I just still think, and having been to the NFC Championship game last year and understanding how loud that building can be, I just think that if you have to go to New Orleans in the playoffs, I'm going to take the Saints every time. And that includes against the 49ers. So if I'm the 49ers, obviously they get them later in the year. Maintaining home field advantage is now of paramount importance. I'm curious to see what the Vikings do this week on the road against the Chiefs as well, because you're going to get two teams out of the NFC North. And I wouldn't discount either one of those, but the Niners have a defense that will travel, and they have a running game that will travel. And that is invaluable.
Andrew Siciliano, NFL Network, here on 95.7 The Game. You said that you heard the haven't played anybody cry from a disgruntled fan on the way out of that 49er-Browns game. You know, we don't apply that to the Patriots. They're playing with an awful lot of house credit. There's an awful lot that they've accomplished. So no one says that, but you could say that about them right up until this Sunday night. Patriots
sure.
At Baltimore. It really feels like it's the first time Belichick and Brady are going to be put in jeopardy all year.
No, it is, period. Well, they played the Bills. They beat the Bills, and it was a substandard Brady performance. The offense... Brady, I think it's his worst numbers in like a decade in a win. So, for whatever that is worth. But they won, and they are the permanent AFC East champions until otherwise noted. They play in a two-team division this year. I mean, the other two teams don't count. It's them and the Bills, and they've already beaten the Bills once, and they get them at Foxborough next time. So they're going to beat them again up there. They are the champions. They are tested here because the Ravens have this amazing force. Look at them in Seattle a couple of weeks ago. It's 3rd and 15. Lamar runs for 13. They go for it in 4th and 2. He runs for a touchdown. When you know he is going to run the ball, you have an exceedingly hard time stopping it. I think the Ravens have a really good shot at winning this game. They're 10-0 at home in primetime. Their last 10. But I don't know that I have faith in the Ravens going into Foxborough in January and winning. Those are two entirely different things. And much like with the Saints, until you tell me that the Patriots are going to have to play on the road in January, I don't know that aside from fantastic entertainment Sunday night, then this game is going to tell us a lot about the playoffs.
Patrick Mahomes is listed as questionable. Is he really going to be on the field 2 weeks after I watched a man relocate his kneecap on television?
So I don't think he is, but nothing would surprise me. I think they're going to wait one more. If I had to guess, it's just my gut.
Even that seems insane.
It's insane. So I was in the tunnel that night in Denver when he came out of the x-ray room, and I promise you, he wasn't limping. He wasn't limping. Now, I think part of it was like a power walk, like I'm shaking it off and all the cameras are here. I'm going to prove that I'm a tough guy kind of thing. Good for him, right? Like he was fighting through it and it was all adrenaline anyway. But the dude wasn't limping. It's like he was Gumby, damn it. And I don't know what he's made of. So nothing would surprise me. If I'm them, I'm safe. I play it safe. I think they lose to the Vikings with Matt Moore. I think they beat the Vikings. Well, they have a better shot, obviously, with Mahomes. But the Chiefs' biggest issue is they cannot stop the run. They can't. And they have the number one rusher in football coming to town. So good luck, regardless of who the quarterback is.
In a battle of three-win teams, interesting three-win teams, and there's only four of them in the league right now. I'm going to say thanks for coming to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and per usual, I'm dismissing the Los Angeles Chargers. Are three-win teams, Raiders actually having a home game for the first time, what feels like almost all season. Raiders and Lions is sneaky, interesting, sneaky, both these teams are better than their records, kind of a cool game.
As my friend Chris Brockman, who sidekicks with Rich Eisen, would say, this is a sneaky good game. I'd say this is if it's in Detroit, I'm taking the Lions. If it's the Raiders at home for the first time in 49 days, I'm taking the Raiders. Period.
That's simple.
We get the Chargers up there next week. Yeah.
When you say we, he means
the NFL Network Thursday night.
The collective we.
The Royal
yes.
Baby.
Yeah, the Borg Empire.
The Royal Baby, yes. I have no idea. All I know is we're going to be up there next week, so I'm going to be nice to Raider fans. I wanted the Raider game on Thursday Night Football this week for Halloween.
Yeah.
Well,
that would have been fun.
That would have been madness. I don't know. It would have been fun. I don't know if it would have been safe.
But think about the Chargers for a second. I'm changing topics because you mentioned the Chargers. Think about what the difference one kick makes. Oof. So if Eddie Pinheiro makes that stinking kick last week, the Chargers are 2-6. No 2-6 team has ever made the playoffs. Now, I don't know, do they lower their asking price for Melvin Gordon on Tuesday and trade him, say, to the Lions or somebody else? But at 3-5, it's hard to quit at 3-5. I mean, you think you're in it at 3-5. 2-6, you know you're done. But he missed the kick, and then they're 3-5 now. I don't know. To me, it was fascinating, so many of those games before the deadline. Like, if the Browns had not fumbled it 95 times in Foxborough and somehow beaten the Patriots, they didn't. Do they now think they're in it and overpay for Trent Williams? There were all these what-ifs last week at the midway point, because the NFL, unlike the NBA and the NHL, they do their trade deadlines two-thirds of the way through the season. We, collectively, the NFL, do it at the halfway point of the season, and you force people into these quick judgments. And like, I think the Chargers are going to get steamrolled by the by the Packers, but who knows? And then what does it matter what Eddie Pinheiro did last week?
Andrew, whose holdout will you tell your grandchildren about first, Trent Williams or Melvin Gordon's?
Well, the Trent Williams one, I don't know if you saw his presser yesterday.
Yeah.
That one.
That's weird.
Kind of deep. I mean, he said, and this is his side of it, that the Redskins basically told him that this thing on his head was nothing for 5 years. Now, my first reaction was, well, wouldn't you want a second opinion regardless? But they told him, he claims, that it was nothing for 5 years. And then he went to another doctor. Oh, no. Then they finally took it off his head and went, oh, bleep, this is cancer. And then Daniel Snyder found him a specialist and flew him to Chicago and saved his life. That one's not your average, I'm just holding out deal. Melvin has flat out admitted he blew it and should have never done it.
Given that, when's the next time do you think Washington will get a free agent? What year?
Good question. Well, they got Landon Collins. I mean, if you're willing to write the check, you're going to find someone willing to cash the check. It's still a business, and you're still projecting long-term financial goals. But they're going to have to, I would have to assume, they're going to have to overpay. They're another team, too. We're like the Bengals. Why don't you start selling assets? Like, I get why you couldn't trade Josh Norman. He's injured. No one's going to take him. He can't run. But Ryan Kerrigan or Trent Williams, I mean, get a three for Trent Williams. Anything. You're not going anywhere. So you may as well try to stockpile assets. Like, what is Carlos Dunlap worth right now to the Bengals? If you want to keep A.J. Green, he's an icon, do it. That's fine. But Carlos Dunlap or Geno Atkins, who is now deep into, who's now, what, 33? He's a heck of a player. Is he going to be a game changer for an eight-figure salary for you? No, trade him to a contender.
I mean, you'd think they'd be ready to move on from Andy Dalton at this point, knowing that you're not going to reach the mountaintop with him, right?
They should have, here's the problem with that. They should have 1,000,000% traded Andy Dalton. Done him a solid and moved on. The issue is, at midseason, what is the market for Andy Dalton? No one's going to trade for Andy Dalton and pick up the remainder of his $17 million as a backup. They're not going to do that.
Bears.
So you need a team that immediately needs a starter. And barring what the Bengals needed was some team to lose a quarterback last week and get desperate. Thankfully, for everyone's health, no one got hurt. I would have argued, and I did argue on air, that the Bears should have ripped the Band-Aid off on Mitch Trubisky.
Yep.
I did this 2 weeks ago and said, just do it. But if you do that, then you really can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. You're done with Mitch Trubisky.
Cool.
And if you're Ryan Pace, how do you go to ownership and say, this is what we're doing when we traded up with the Niners and gave away assets? When we traded all those assets to the Bears as well, and now we're going to trade even more assets that we don't even have any, to be honest with you, to get Dalton. I mean, you better win with Andy Dalton. And how many times has a quarterback, a starting quarterback, been traded mid-season, and then you plug him in and you win? It's probably a very short list.
A dropped call makes you feel like you get two interviews for the price of one. Thank you very much for giving us a call back, Andrew. Appreciate it. Have fun this weekend. We'll be watching.
Guys, it's like 6:30. It's been fun for the last 2.5 hours.
You have access to alcohol. Stop bitching.